Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
This time, put a big smile on your face and say it like you're happy to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. To the angel of this house, your pastor, my father, Pastor Anthony Bledsoe, thank you for having me. Amen. You could have called on anybody, but you called on me, and I don't take that privilege lightly. To you, the Solid Rock Church family, thank you for having me. I'll be the first to tell you that not everywhere you go is so warm and welcoming. Amen. I hadn't been doing this preaching thing long, but I figured out not every door swings on welcome hinges. Amen. And that's a credit to you all. It's a sweet spirit here in this house. Amen. Amen. That is a credit to you all. Listen, I'm not going to worry you long. If y'all will give me about 16 minutes, I'm going to be back in the seat that I came from. Amen. I found out not to make you happy twice. I don't want you to be happy I stood and happy when I sat down, okay? So listen, those of you that happen to have brought your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When you have it, let it be known by saying, I got it, preacher.
I got it, preacher.
Still looking, say, wait on me. Second Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse number 7. Take your time. We all going to leave together. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. My Bible reads as such, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse number 10, we'll sit down. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For the next 14 minutes, I want to talk to you from the thought, a prayer God did not answer. A prayer that God did not answer. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you, God, for just being God and being God all by yourself, Lord. I ask you to move in this place right now, Father God. Decrease me, Lord God, so that you're able to increase, God. I ask you to hide me behind your cross. Anoint me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Father God, move in this place. Give me preaching power that your word may go forth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer God did not answer. It was a prayer that God could not answer. Let me tell you now and assure to some of you that I'm not crazy. I have not lost my mind. I don't have my own doctrine and my own beliefs. But the Lord has blessed me with enough wisdom to understand that he's able to do anything. He just does not choose to do everything. A prayer that God could not answer. You have to understand that sometimes in life, there are things that we just have to deal with. Sometimes in life we face problems that seem to just stick around. No matter how many times we pray, no matter what we do, that problem just seems to stay. The beautiful thing about prayer is prayer does not always take things away, but prayer will change your perspective of the problem that you're dealing with. So, a prayer that God could not answer. The Apostle Paul is dealing with a problem. He's got something going on that's bothering him. It's gotten so bad that he's went to God three times asking him to remove this problem. Now, some of y'all sitting there like you never prayed and God didn't answer the way that you wanted him to answer. And if every time you pray, he's answering the way you want him to, then meet me at the service because I want to know your secret. Because I ain't figured it out yet. So he's got a problem that's really, really bothering him. Something that is so bad, he said, the Bible says he went to God three separate occasions, said, Lord, please remove this thing from me. And here's the truth of the matter. There are some of you in here right now that if I was to really ask you, there's something you've been praying about for years and years and years, weeks and weeks, months and months, and ain't nothing seeming to happen. You ain't got to tell me because I know, but the truth of the matter is sometimes you just got to go through some things. When God wants you to go through, beloved, I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care how many times the preacher lay his hands on you and you fall out in the spirit and get slain. When you get back up off the ground, you still gonna have some problems. Boy, it's quiet in here. We're going to have to hurry. Y'all making me nervous. So you're still going to have some problems. You're still going to have some stuff that you got to deal with. And understand that all of us, in order for God to teach us, in order for God to grow us, he's got to send us through some things. If everything was rainbows and pretty skies and sunshine, some of us would never even come to church in the first place. Check one. Some of us would never even show up because we wouldn't have a need for God if we didn't have no problem. So some things you just have to go through. You say, well, Chris, why is it? Because I'm doing everything right. I'm coming to church. I'm at Sunday school. I pay my tithes. I even came to Vacation Bible School and brought some corn chips. Why I got to deal with stuff like this? I shouldn't have to be dealing with stuff. But let me help you understand something. The only person ever walked the face of the earth that was perfect was Jesus Christ. In your Bible, if you ain't tore it out, in Matthew chapter 16, he begins to tell his disciples of things that he must suffer. Amen. He didn't say, I might suffer. He said things that he must suffer. He said, at the hands of the priest. That's the pastor. That's the preacher of the church. Amen. At the hands of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, them the folks are supposed to know the Bible. Amen. He said, I got to suffer some things. And what happened is a man by the name of Simon Barjona, a.k.a. Peter. Peter gets upset with Jesus. He says, not on my watch. No, I can't let this happen while I'm here. But what Jesus was trying to tell Peter and the rest of the disciples that, listen, my power comes from my pain. Listen, I'm gonna catch somebody right here. My power comes from my pain. My strength comes from my struggles. I get the crown when I get the cross. If I ain't got no cross, then I ain't got no. I'm preaching good now, but somebody ought to talk to me. There's some things you just got to deal with in your life. There ain't no way around it. See, you've been praying to God, asking God, remove this thing. Can I suggest to you that you've been praying the wrong prayer? Maybe you ought to pray and say, God, help me understand why I'm having to deal with this thing. Give me some wisdom. Help me see it because, God, I'm not understanding while I'm fighting this devil like I'm fighting it. All right. Okay. Prayer does not always change everything. Prayer can help change your perspective of the problem. The Apostle Paul is a trailblazer. He is a man that is, his only mission is to take the gospel all over. So with that being the case, Paul does not have the privilege of building a church and staying there for 40 or 50 years. Paul's job is to help spread the gospel everywhere. So what he's doing is he's building a church here, getting it established, and he's moving on. He builds a church over here. He gets it established, and he moves on. He goes to Corinth, and he builds a church there, and he moves on. He goes to Philippi, and he builds a church there, and he moves on. You get the picture. So now, one of the churches that Paul has built and helped get established has lost their mind. Listen, that right there is a problem within itself. Check this. Let's be honest for a second. How does it feel when you do all you can to help somebody else, get them on their feet, get them moving, help them out, give them a little dollar when they ain't got it, give them a little bread when they ain't got no food. Y'all know what I'm talking about. How does it feel when you help somebody and then they can't even say thank you? How does it feel when, think about it, put yourself in the Apostle Paul's shoes. How would it feel if Sunday in and Sunday out, you were standing up here preaching your heart out and folks wouldn't even wave their hand and say amen? How would you feel if you was given everything you got and when you didn't have anything else left to give, didn't nobody want to fool with you? People are funny. If you ain't figured it out yet, let me help you. People are funny. As long as you got something to give, they don't mind being beside you. But just as soon as the resources are gone, you can't find them with a tracking device. He's a trailblazer. He's taking the gospel everywhere. And these people have gotten upset with Paul, because they've been exposed to some false doctrine. They've been exposed to some false teaching. They've been exposed to some preachers who are more into themselves than they are into the word.
Amen.
They've been exposed to some preachers who are more concerned about getting a big offering than they are about what they offer you in the ministry. They're upset. But you have to understand, in this ministry is not about what you can do for me. Ministry is about what I can do for you. Ministry is about what, not what God has called you to do for me, but it's about what God has called me to do for you. See, we get things so turned around and so backwards because all we want to do is have a title. All we want somebody to do is let up. Well, you better not sit in my seat. This is my job. This is my title. But truth of the matter is, the Bible says Jesus was a servant. If you want to be first in my kingdom, then you got to be last. When we as the church learn how to be servants, we learn how to stop being so concerned about being out front and everybody seeing me, and learn how to just serve. See, here's another, let me tell you something. Here's a lie that the devil been telling some of y'all, that you can't do anything in the church because you ain't got no talent. Well, you can't sing, so don't you get up in that choir and try to sing, because they're going to laugh at you. You can't even read good, so you can't be no preacher. You can't get up and speak in front of folks. The devil has made some of y'all feel like you have nothing to offer to the church. Let me help you understand. God would not have sent you here if there wasn't somebody here for you to be a blessing to. Listen. We got things so confused now. We come to church looking for a blessing. When the truth of the matter is, you are a blessing. There's somebody that's watching you Sunday in and Sunday out, and because they see you come in here, they know what I can come to. I know what she's been dealing with. I know the trouble she's got going on. I know he's not feeling very well, but he gets up every Sunday and he makes it so can I. He ain't got a whole lot of money in his pocket, but he pays his tithes every Sunday, so I'm doing all right. That means I can pay my... Boy, it's real quiet in here. He's got a problem. He's got a problem. Watch this. He's got a problem. See, we have... The Church of Corinth is upset, and they want Paul, they write a letter. They want Paul to prove himself. How do we know you're fit to lead us? How do we know you got the knowledge or the wisdom to guide and help us? Because they've been exposed to preachers who are used to bragging on themselves. They've been exposed to people who are so concerned about themselves. When we as a people learn to keep our eyes stayed on Jesus and not ourselves, these churches will fill themselves up. They want Paul to prove himself. Verse number 8 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. They're upset with Paul because Paul won't take their money. They're upset because they're used to preachers that are preaching and they want to take their money. And Paul says, listen, I've robbed other churches. That word robbed in the Greek means, listen, not physically went in there with a gun and held them up, but he says, I've took money from other churches, but I gave you the ministry. I took from them, but I gave you the word. I didn't take it from you because truth of the matter, you didn't look like you had it to give in the first place. So I took from other churches. I don't have to rob you. Paul begins to talk about in all things, I've learned how to be content. That word content does not mean complacent. That word content does not mean satisfied. That word content means I'm not satisfied, but what I got right now, it'll do. I ain't got a whole lot of money right now, and I'm not satisfied, but it'll do. I wish I had a better job than I got right now, but I'm thankful for God that he gave me the job that I got. It'll do. There's a blessing in learning how to be content. Everything isn't always going to be hunky-dory. Everything in life isn't always going to be easy. But when you learn how to trust and believe in God, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So what that told me was, even when it looks like I'm losing, I'm still winning. Even when it feels like I'm down, I'm still winning. Even when folks are talking about me and scandalizing my name, I'm still winning. When I ain't got no money in my pocket, I'm still winning. Even when it looks bad, I'm still winning. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord.
We have gotten things confused in the church. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I thought he was talking about dying. But Jesus is trying to give us a piece of heaven here on earth.
Amen. Amen.
He's trying to give us a piece of glory here on earth. And when we learn how to praise him through the midst of our problems. This is it. Give me 3 minutes. I promise I'm done. This is it. This is all I got. Listen, when we learn how to praise God in the midst of our problems. See, we're good at praising God when everything is going our way. You can't beat us to the church when everything is going good for us. You can't get here fast enough. The church can't open their doors enough as long as everything is going my way. But just as soon as something goes wrong in my life, I can't even find the church no more. I didn't expect a lot of folks to say amen, so that's okay. Y'all ain't bothering me. It's easy to praise God as long as everything's good. But where is your faith when all hell is breaking loose? Let me help you. Listen, there's a story told, and there was a captain of a ship, and he took his family out, and they got out there on the boat, and they on the boat, and they out there on the water, and all of a sudden, a storm arose. And you know, like I know, sometimes those meteorologists, they can't predict it just right. Sometimes they don't see the storm coming and it gets on you and there ain't nothing you can do but battle through the storm. So here it is. They're out there on this ship and the ship is going crazy. Stuff is beginning to fall off and stuff is going everywhere. They don't really know what's going on. Well, there's a little girl, the captain's daughter, who's on the ship. And she's down there in the bottom and she's sleeping, but she feels the boat rocking back and forth. And she gets up and she comes out in a frantic panic. She said, oh, what's going on? And some man walks by. He said, listen, baby, there's a storm out there on the ocean. And she says, well, is my daddy on board? He looked. He said, well, yeah, he's up there driving the ship. The little girl turned around, went back in the room, got in the bed, went fast asleep. Somebody didn't catch it, but here's the truth of the matter is, the little girl said to herself, as long as my daddy is on board, I don't care what's going on around me, I'm going to be all right. So I don't care what kind of problems you've been dealing with, as long as you got God on board, everything is going to be all right. It might look bad right now, it might even feel bad, but everything is going to be all right. That's why I like Romans 8:28 when it said, for we know that all things work together for the good. Notice it didn't say all things are good. That means you're going to deal with some stuff that don't feel good to you. Come on, somebody. You're going to deal with some stuff that ain't always good to you, but it's good for you. When you learn how to praise God in the midst of that kind of mess, when you learn how to give him glory in that kind of hell and condition, then God says, I think sometimes we think about God and we don't realize how personal he wants our relationship to be. I'm gonna break it down on an even smaller level. Listen, think about this. Anybody dating, in the dating stage? Okay, let me re-ask this question. That didn't work. So let's try this again. Anybody ever been in the dating stage? Okay. What if that person you were dating only wanted to be around you when you were giving something to them? What if that person you were dating only had time for you when it was convenient for them? What if that person you were dating only loved you and only cared about you when you were doing things for them? I'm going to assume
there's a few married couples in here. So at some point you went through the dating stage, you got engaged, then you got married. It's a typical procedure. If that person you were dating was treating you that way, you would have never made it to the marriage stage. What I'm trying to tell you is, listen, don't forget about God when all hell breaks loose. God is still good even when it don't feel good to you. Even when stuff is going wrong in my life, God is still God.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Even when sometimes I feel like Paul, and I'm thinking to myself, God, can you not hear me? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I've been praying and praying and praying. God, can you not understand? But what I've learned is that even when I'm dealing with my mess, to praise God anyhow. I'm going to say it again. Even when I'm dealing with my mess, to praise God anyhow. Somebody asked me why. Because there was a time before when I was dealing with some problems, and I prayed, and I prayed, and even after I prayed, God fixed it. So what I know, if he was able to do it back then, he's still able to do it right now. I don't have to wait till my blessing come to give him praise. Because I know as long as my praises go up, that blessings are going to come down. I can't see it right now, but I know that it's... understand what you're doing, God, but I know that you're doing it for my good. It don't make sense to me right now, but I'm going to praise you anyhow because you're still worthy to be praised. Is there anybody to know God is worthy to be? Hurry up, boy. Hurry up, boy. Watch this. Watch this. Told you that God wants to give us a piece of heaven here on earth. And in churches, we've made up these crazy songs like, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And listen, there ain't nothing wrong with that. And it sounds good, but how, help me, how do you know it's better to have silver than gold, silver and gold, it's better to have Jesus than silver and gold if you ain't never had silver and gold? If you ain't never had silver and gold, you're not qualified to sing that song. You can sing it all you want, but if you ain't never had silver and gold, how do we know? See, some of us are living trying to get to heaven. But I'm just crazy enough to believe that if I keep praising God, if I give him the best that I got, he'll give me a piece of heaven here on earth. See, you ought to be praying and praising till heaven show up at your house. You ought to be praising and praying till heaven show up at your job. You ought to be praising and praying till heaven show up at your church. All right. Okay. I'm done now. Church of Corinth still, they're upset with Paul. And they want Paul to prove himself. Paul says that, well, I'm not one to brag. And Paul is so adamant
about not bragging on himself. He's so adamant about not boasting about himself. To look at the beginning of chapter 12, he says, verse number 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, let me pause in the middle of that scripture. Paul's talking about himself. But he's so adamant about not bragging about himself to even when he gets ready to talk about himself, he doesn't even call his own name. He says, I know a man that 14 years ago, listen, what he was telling him, this didn't just happen yesterday. This didn't just happen here. It happened 14 years ago. And because I have been so concerned, I've been so focused on not bragging and being boastful, it took me 14 years to tell you about it. Now listen, I don't know whether it was an out-of-body experience. I don't know what happened, but I went up towards heaven. Verse number 3, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. He says, God, call me up, call the man up to heaven. And here it is, the thorn Paul's got. Thank you, God. The thorn that Paul's got. God called him up to heaven. He gave him a revelation. And he gives him a thorn in his flesh to buffet him. Yet I not boast about myself. So what are you trying to say, Chris? Well, Paul had an experience that not very many people could relate to. Paul had an experience that not a lot of people could even talk about. Paul had experienced something that could have very easily turned him into a boastful person. Paul had, I find it interesting because the same thing happens to some of us sometimes. We get a little money in our pocket and folks can't tell us nothing. We buy us a new car and folks can't tell us nothing. But the Lord said, I'm not going to allow Paul to get like that. He said, so I've given him a thorn in his flesh. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain from lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. We have gotten to the point, and I say we because I'm preaching to Chris too, we have gotten to a point in our lives that in church that we care entirely too much about what folks are saying about us. We get so concerned about what are coming out of other people's mouth. Let me tell you something in case had nobody told you yet. There ain't a person in here that's got a heaven or a hell to put you in. Listen, there ain't a person, I don't care how mighty, I don't care if they got their halo and their purse and their wings tucked behind their back, they don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. We got to get to a point where we don't mind praising God for just who he is. See, we get so concerned about who's looking. Well, I don't want to clap my hands because they're going to think something of me. I don't want to say nothing over here because they're going to think something of me. Listen, you better learn how to praise God for yourself. And us other folks that's looking at folks when they're giving God praise, thinking, well, it don't take all that. They ain't got to yell and scream like that. Why she keeps saying, oh, glory? It don't take all that. Until you walked a mile in my shoes, don't tell me what it takes to praise my God. You don't know what he's done for me. If you had a scene where he brought me from, then you would understand why I praise him like I do. If you could see all the hell I was in before I got here now, it would make sense to you why I can't be still in the church. You would understand why I shout glory to God, because you would see he's brought me from a mighty long way. And I know that ain't everybody here, but there's about five of y'all that know you was on your way to hell, but God reached way down, picked you up, turned you around, placed your feet on a solid ground, and saved your soul. And if it had not been for Jesus, I heard my grandmama say I wasn't fit to live and I sure wasn't ready to die, but God spared my life.
All right. All right. All right. I found my exit. Here we go. Watch this. Watch this. Here we go. He gives him the thorn to humble him. He gives him the thorn to keep him modest. He gives him the thorn so that he does not get too high on himself. He gives him the thorn so that grandma used to say, so he don't start smelling himself. Okay, give him the thorn. So we have to learn in life there are some problems that are just going to be there. There ain't no way around it. God's not going to move it. Your only choice is to go through it. My sermon in a sentence this morning is we got to learn how to deal with the problems that we can't get rid of. We got to learn how to pray and move through the problems that we can't get rid of. There's some things you're just going to have to deal with in life. This thorn, I thought it was sin. But Jesus is not in the business of giving folks sin. He's in the business of delivering folks from sin. So, the Bible says that these devils have been assigned to him. And I got confused because when I was a little boy, they made me believe that the devil was this 6'12", red face with horns and a long tail type creature. So, how is it that Paul didn't see this coming? I don't understand that. But I found out that the devil is not a man. The devil is a spirit that gets in a man. Let me help you. Let me help you. The devil is not a man. The devil is a spirit that gets in a man. So if the devil wants to get to me, he got to get in somebody else to get towards me. Somebody ain't got it. The best way to help our churches, we would be better off fighting. You know, they say it's hard to fight an enemy that you can't see. It's hard to fight somebody that you, and look for somebody, hunt for somebody you don't know what you're looking for. If you ain't never seen a deer before in your life, how you gonna go deer hunting? Come on, somebody. You ain't never hunted rabbits. How you going to go rabbit hunting? You don't know what a rabbit look like. So how am I going to prepare to fight somebody that I don't know what they look like? Well, so I begin reading. I did some research on the devil. The Bible said that the devil is cunning. The Bible said that the devil is crafty. The Bible said that he's deceiving. So then I began to think. I said, well, if he's cunning, he's crafty, and he's deceiving, how he gonna be 7'4", red with horns and a tail? That would be obvious. So what I found out was, after I began reading, I began studying, I realized that devil that they talking about there looks a lot like some folks I know. That devil looks a lot like some family members. That devil look a whole lot like some folks I work with. That devil look a whole lot like some folks that. Now listen, I don't know if y'all got so quiet because y'all feel like y'all may be sitting close to one, or if you know who we talking about. But truth of the matter is, we've been looking at the wrong enemy. We've been looking in the wrong places. And the thing about the devil is, a lot of times you don't even know he's been there until he's long gone. And your whole world is upside down. So watch this. We're done. He gives Paul the thorn in his flesh to keep Paul from being boastful, keep Paul from getting too high on himself. Because what he did not want to run the risk of is allowing Paul to get so high that he feels like he doesn't need the Lord anymore. And the truth of the matter is, some of us have experienced that in our own life. We got to feeling so good that we realized we thought we didn't need the Lord anymore. We got so high on ourselves that we thought we don't need prayer anymore. I don't need to come to the church no more. Listen, I got my job. I got my husband. I got a new car. I ain't going back to Solid Rock no more. Then all hell breaks loose. There are some things you deal with in life. And it's not about God trying to punish you. See, we get it confused. We think a lot of times whenever we deal with issues in life that God is mad with us, that God is upset. Truth of the matter is God is just trying to prepare you for something greater. See, without a test, there can't be no testimony. See, everybody wants a good testimony, but don't nobody want to deal with no tests. I found out a long time ago, if God brought me to it, he can bring me through it. If he did it back then, he can do it again. I don't have to understand what I'm dealing with. Just long as I know I've got God by my side, I know everything is going to be all right. So listen, I leave you this morning with this. I don't care come hell or high water, you stay with the Lord. I don't care what goes wrong in your life, you stay with the Lord. I don't care how good it gets, you don't leave this church house. You stay under the covering of God. Let him move in your life. No matter what happens, come hell or high water, you got to stay with God. It does not matter to me how good or how bad it gets. God is still in charge. And when you realize he's still in charge, and then no matter what, he's got you covered. Amen. You'll sleep a little better. Yeah. You've been worried and crying yourself to sleep. I come to tell you, listen, go home and get you some rest tonight. You've been laying there tossing and turning, worried about something you can't do nothing about no way. Amen. Come on, brother. But if you'll just turn it over to God, you just give it to Jesus, you ain't got to worry no more. You ain't got to cry no more. It ain't gonna always feel good, but God's got you covered. I don't care what they say about you. I don't care how they put you down and how they scandalize your name. I don't care what it is that you're dealing with. Listen, God's got it. Amen. God's got it. I don't know why I'm talking to you, but I know God's got it. That's right. You just hold on. Just hold on. When it gets hard, you just hold on. When you don't know how you're going to make it, just hold on. Even when you're crying at night, just hold on. See, don't God work it out for you. Listen, stand with me. You might be here tonight and you might be dealing with some problems of your own. I come to let you know there's nothing wrong with that. We all got some devils and we all got some demons that we got to fight. We got this church thing confused. We think we're supposed to come here and act perfect.
We got this thing all backwards. See, the church is supposed to be a hospital for sick folks. You keep coming to church looking for a bunch. You don't go to the hospital looking for healthy folks. Church is for the sick. You don't have to leave here this morning hurting. You don't have to leave here this morning worried about how you're going to make it. I can't tell you when. I can't tell you how. I don't even know where. But Eric, I got a feeling. I just got a feeling that no matter what, everything is going to be all right. So you come. Doors of the church are now open. If you here this morning, you hadn't been saved, there's not a better moment than right now. I don't care what's going on tomorrow. I don't care what's going on this afternoon. I don't care what you're doing next week. This is the best moment to get saved in the history of mankind. My Bible says that today is the day of salvation and tomorrow's not promised. So you come. Maybe you just need some prayer. You come. Bible says that we have not because we ask not. You come this morning. The song said, "This is how I fight my battles." Sometimes you're going to have to fight with tears in your eyes. Sometimes you're going to have to fight with a limp in your walk. Sometimes you're going to have to fight when you're hurting, but just keep on.